Live from Blog Talk Radio, Mystical Empress Life Coaching with your host, Brenda Renee.
Welcome, everybody, to the Mystical Empress Show. This is Brenda Renee, your host. Today, we are going to have a nice little chat over some peppermint tea with Gary O. Blanson. Now, you're probably wondering how in the world, where did they get that title for this show, Moon, Stars, and Clover? Well, called Gary up. I said, Gary, what you want to talk about? And his wonderful Pisces way, poetic Pisces here, he said, the moon, stars, and clover. I said, okay. So we'll roll with that. But on a serious note, we're going to talk about beliefs today, belief system. And you're like, what does she mean by that? Well, as I was studying Seth, Jane Roberts Seth, I first learned about beliefs and how they create our reality. And in a nutshell, Abraham Hicks says, a belief is a thought you keep thinking. And so your thinking, you start out with thoughts and then they create matter. They create the reality that you find yourself in. In my healing work, shamanic theta healing work, I'm looking for beliefs. I'm digging with the client, getting down to the root cause of something. It's just like the root of a tooth. I don't know why that image just came to me, but teeth do represent beliefs. And you got to get to the root of your beliefs to uncover why things are happening. Why do I keep hooking up with unavailable men? Or why do every time I get a job, everybody on staff hates me? You know, and you just think, oh, it's bad luck. No, you've got some kind of belief system in there that sets up creation of your reality, and it draws you to specific circumstances and people that will confirm your belief. Gary, you there?
I'm here. Hello, everyone.
We're glad to have you today.
Oh, glad to be back, girl.
So when you told me we're going to talk about the moon, the stars, and clover, what was on your mind, Gary?
Well, when we always talked that book's a million, we never knew exactly where it was going, so it's kind of like that there today, and so it just came right up.
And you're very interested too, the work that you do, empowerment and coaching, development of people and their personalities and their dreams, and you're interested in their beliefs also. So tell us about that.
Okay. Like what we were just talking about a little earlier, everything has to go through your mind, but also it has to filter through your beliefs and your values. And that's where most of us get stuck, including you and I. So we're not even immune.
No.
So what we basically trying to do is overcome some of those beliefs. And the sad thing about it is that at least half of them, it's usually more, were installed before we were 15.
Okay.
So we didn't really know that we were accepting these beliefs.
So where do you think, I'm going to talk about where I think a lot of them come from. I want to hear where you find them to come from.
Well, that's what's so wild about it. They came from everywhere. We talked about this once when we were in Books a Million, how environment is an incubator. Everywhere we go, beliefs are getting thrown at, especially the media. Those take, for instance, when we were sitting in Books a Million, they automatically played the music. You, without even realizing it, were taking some of it in without even realizing it. Because guess what? You get up, put your chairs up, and leave the store and not a song playing in your head.
You got that right. I hate that when that happens.
but that's how beliefs get installed without us knowing it.
True.
We think that you have to physically or tend
study
to do it on your own, but they can get installed without you even knowing it. I mean, that's what the corporate companies and advertisers feed on. I mean,
yeah.
How do you think every time you look up a McDonald's and Burger King commercial coming on? Because they know if they can get in your mind, more than likely, if you in a push or something, you're going to drop in there at least once a week.
Yep. Yep. You're right. It's pervasive. The advertising
uh-huh.
and marketing campaigns, they know this. They do a lot
uh-huh.
of study on the mind, the subconscious, how it's basically hypnotizing people.
Right.
Yep.
It's getting into our heads.
So many kids sit there in front of that TV. Well, I mean, adults too, but boy, you're getting a lot of downloads from the TV.
Exactly. That's why I basically about, I guess it's maybe going on 5 years, I just kind of unplugged from it. I mean, I still
yeah.
watch it every now and then, but I mean, let's use a percentage. I went from like watching it every day to where maybe two or three times a week is all I watch it now.
Well, I'll tell you what, us women, we would like to not watch it hardly at all, but it's usually the men in our lives that want to keep it on. So I'm impressed that you divorced yourself from it, because, boy, I hear that so much from women who are wanting to clean their thinking up, and they say, well, my husband plays that TV all night, every night when he's at home, and it's hard. It's hard to get away from it.
Well, that's why, along with the beliefs, you're going to have to reprogram yourself, and that's going to involve pulling away. Well, we just sum it up with the word change. It's going to involve
mm-hmm.
change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nothing happens without change.
And that's what people fear the most.
Mm-hmm. That led me right into something that I have been helping a guy with. It's a book called Dream Giver by Bruce Wilkinson.
Okay.
It's a story about a character named Ordinary. And the first thing Ordinary has to do after he finds his dream, he has to leave the town of Ordinary.
I like it.
He had to leave the town of Familiar, because he's Ordinary. He had to leave the town of Familiar.
That's
it's
good.
It's a very interesting book.
That's good. Makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
Gary, have you ever watched the movie What the Bleep?
You know I love that movie. And it lets us know that everything changes by our own. That's why we live in the same world, but we don't live mentally in the same world, because we can take a child who hasn't learned all the vocabulary of an adult. You'll go and ask him the meaning of that word. He'd be like, what you talking about? I ain't never heard that before. So, therefore, we're not exactly in the same world all 24/7.
Right, right. Well, I want to bring up the reason. I know you're probably waiting for it. The reason why I contacted you is because I was having a conversation with a client of mine, and this client was talking about her son in school, and boy, I jumped on the Gary O. Blanson train as soon as she started talking about it. Well, this child has been going through a lot of trauma with his father, and social services is in it. They're giving him therapy. They're doing all this stuff to him. You know, this poor kid, I think he's in fourth grade, 9 years old. And it's affecting him to the point where he's going to school and having, you know, emotional breakdowns. Like he goes in the bathroom and just locks himself in the bathroom. Well, now all the kids are calling him crazy and they're making fun of him. And the teacher's not doing anything about it. The teacher's allowing it to happen. Even the school counselor's telling the teacher, you know, you need to intervene. And the teacher's basically like, well, he just needs to suck it up. And so it's getting to the point now where the mother's going to end up having to pull him out of the school and homeschool him.
Right.
And I wanted to hear what you were going to say about that.
I kind of have to go along with Stephen Covey. He says a bunch of times we got to go and address the person's self-image.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to involve the feelings, the emotions, and all of that. Go back and look at how this person feels, because when we say the self-esteem and self-talk and everything, it's going to lead to his self-belief. So we back
yeah.
to belief.
Yeah.
He has a blueprint in his head about what he believes other people think about him. And then
mm-hmm.
that transfers to how he feels about himself.
Yeah.
So somehow someone has to get to him to address his self-esteem issues and his self-belief and get it running into a direction to where now he believes he's a better type of person to what he believes now. Because as long as he continues to believe that he's whatever he's feeling that way now, he's that self-talk is going to keep playing. And that's
for the rest
so
of his life, possibly.
Exactly. Because that self, it's like a audio recording just being played 24/7. I'm dumb. I'm stupid. I'm not enough. The teacher hates me. The students hate me. See, they did it again. Every time they do something, it reinforces what he says over and over every day.
Mm-hmm. And the sad part about it is this boy, he's very sensitive and psychically gifted. So, you know, that sets him apart already. He already knows he's different in that way, you know? So then when you get those messages being thrown at you, it just kind of compounds the belief and actually turns it into a negative belief rather than a positive.
Exactly.
I mean, you can be gifted and special and not be flawed, or you can be gifted and special and see that as a derogatory label. You know, it just it
right.
depends on the perception.
Right. And I kind of have to agree with the mother. Either she got to pull him out of school or get him around, get him in another classroom to where he's not being told that something's wrong with him.
Right.
You know, I wish that they would try to get it to where sometimes, maybe not the whole time that they're in school, but at least part of the time they're in school, let like-minded people hang out together. Okay,
yeah.
If you know that if he has these gifts that's related toward this, let's get him around. Even if the class is an age above him or age below him, because once again, we have this idea that school has always been set up, 8th grade, 2nd grade, 3rd grade, and all. They used to have it where all of the kids were taught by one teacher and they were different ages.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
you know,
go ahead.
You know, this, I thought about this, you know, school, I probably can speak for many people. School was a hellish experience for me. I did not fit in with the kids and I was bullied a lot. And I think back on that time now, knowing what I know about law of attraction, it is a forced interaction. It's at the entire system. It's a forced bringing together of a lot of unlikely matches. And so it makes sense of why there's so much bullying and, you know, all of that mess. I believe that socializing the child is very important because they're not going to be sheltered forever. But at the same time, man, that some of that stuff at school can get really dangerous and abusive.
Right. Robert Kiyosaki summed it up by saying that school is not a nurturing environment.
Mm-mm. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Unless you get the benefit or the luck of having a teacher like Bonnie Bray, who's, you know, she's so motherly and nurturing, you're just very, very lucky. And I had one teacher like that in fourth grade. Her name was Rhonda Dawkins Melton. She ended up becoming a Melton, marrying the veterinarian down there in Bastrop, Louisiana. But she was nurturing. But the bulk of them didn't give a damn about me. And, I mean, I can't blame them. They got 25, 30 kids. They got to, you know, pass through their class. They don't have the time, the energy, or the money. And, you know, one of my friends, I don't know if you ever met her before she passed. Her name was Mary Beth Tossin. And she was a elementary teacher in Senlaw, Central Louisiana, down there in Alexandria, Pineville. And she was in the inner cities, and it broke her heart trying, you know, she said a lot of those kids would come to school just so they had a meal for the day. And when a kid's dealing with survival issues like that, learning about history and, you know, multiplication is not on their radar. They, you know, they're focused on the survival, getting through the day. Where am I going to sleep tonight? Are my parents going to be fighting? And she, man, it really took a toll on her trying to be that nurturing influence in those kids' lives.
Right, right. And that's what's so sad about it is that they say there's no money, but that's not really true. Because they can have a war break out tomorrow and money will come pouring in from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, why don't we say the same about our kids
education.
In school?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to call it education because real education comes from within. See, true
That's
education.
True.
When you look at that word educo. It means to draw out, not pour in, not have students regurgitate what they telling them what to think. You're supposed to be teaching me how to think, not what to think. See, so
exactly.
I don't even call it education. I call it schooling.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. So with this little boy then, aside from the obvious problems that are going on, working on self-esteem and beliefs. Self-esteem is just the belief you have about yourself.
Exactly. And that, to me, that's where you start at. When he starts seeing himself at a different light, he's going to start realizing, educo, what's inside of me. So now it goes from the curriculum, which I have no want to even discuss it. I'm talking about the child. Child like, I don't want know nothing about it. But me, that impacts me instantly. So, I mean, just think about it. If every kid, when they came to school, the minute the child comes to the door, you're special. You're going to do something great today. Versus
Aww.
Go sit in your seat and wait for me to call the roll. I mean, that's a different. I mean, kids start seeing themselves different. I mean, because think about it. Some kids, the reason they're making good grades is to get a good feeling from the teacher saying you're a good student.
Yeah.
Now, what if you still told me I'm a good student even though I made a C? And not look at me with a frown on my face. I know you can do better.
I just saw you doing that.
I mean, it's
too,
a difference. It's a difference. It's a big difference with a child. I mean, you told me, I got to see. Mom, I got to see. Reward that seed.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why we don't understand that these kids need to be celebrated even with the C's and D's. Because mm-hmm. we need to be encouraging them to go higher so they will want to do better. Because the grade is okay, but the person is more important than the grade. Because the person has to deal with the person 100% of the time. I may only have to deal with that grade just at school. But I have to come home and face myself in the mirror every night and every day.
You know, Matt, I've never heard anybody say this before, but my husband, Matt, I think he still carries resentment from his school years. He said, you know, he said, I could make a C and I wouldn't get a hard time. I could just coast with C's. And he said, but if I started making A's, then suddenly the C's were no longer good enough. I had to stay at the straight A's. And that really angered him that he couldn't be accepted at any level.
And he's not the only one. Because for some kids, the C is the A.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the C is the, I mean, because they don't really like it, they doing the best they can to get that C. Because
yeah.
People don't understand, with the beliefs and the wiring in our heads, our interest stimulates new cells and connect new parts of our brain
mm-hmm.
for remembering the stuff that we need to pass the test. Because it ain't nothing but memorization.
Yeah.
It's not learning, it's memorization. And when you're interested, now more connects to the other to help you remember it. See?
Yeah.
So if I'm
yeah.
not interested, I'm not going to remember as much.
That's true. That's true.
And we got to realize, they took grades and hooked it to jobs. If jobs was not hooked it to grades, you wouldn't have these parents acting a fool over these grades. At least I don't think they would. I don't think they would. If you disconnect that job, because everywhere all through life when I was coming up, get good grades so you can get a good job. Get good grades so you can get a good job. Guess what? The jobs have disappeared. We're not in Kansas anymore. So the good job's gone, but we still preaching, get good grades, get good job. What
go
a job.
To college.
You got 50% of graduates from college working minimum wage jobs.
That's right. And do you realize, though, people have such, I mean, I see it. I get so many people that come to me that are true, they're gifted, they're entrepreneurs, but man, they're having a meltdown, a crisis over the jobs. And, you know, there's such an, it's like you said, and I see why, there's such an ingrained belief around that connects survival, money, and jobs. And now we're shifting paradigms to where society is having to get creative and recognize their talents and then market them. You know, we just started this mobile app, Flizzit, this week.
Right.
And the concept is to bring people who have skill sets, specific talents that they're offering, connecting them over this app on your phone to people who want what they have to offer on demand. So it connects professional to client instantly. And, you know, I'm going to be curious to watch, we've had a lot of people sign up in 4 days, and I'm going to be curious. You know, Uber has gone through this. They've offered a similar platform, but they're finding out every week you're hearing about them being in lawsuits because the people are suing them because the people want to actually be employees. People haven't made that jump yet into, I don't have to have a boss. I don't have to have a paycheck cut to me on the 1st and 15th of the month. I get to determine when I'm going to work, and I get to determine when I'm going to get paid. It's a whole new belief system for how people survive. And they're you know, they're in these minimum wage jobs like Taco Bell or McDonald's, and they're whining and complaining, oh, they need to raise the price. And, you know, Matt says all the time, those jobs were not meant to be anything other than a jump-off point. They're not meant to support a family, to live on. They're just a way to get you from child stage into adult stage. It's going to be interesting how things shift and evolve in the next 5 to 10 years as far as the workforce goes.
Well, unless they change the structure of the unemployment benefits and things like that, it's basically going to be like technology. You really don't have a clear-cut choice in it because they're taking away the regular job as far as the benefits-wise. You still going to have the regular job where you get the regular pay, but the pay is going down.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the whole point of what they want. They want the pay to go down to where you're making the minimum, and you ought to be happy that you're making the minimum because that's all we're going to pay. And then you're going to have the rise and growth of the independent contractor and entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they realize that the entrepreneur and the independent contractor, those people are going to have to be bold enough to risk not counting on that job and that paycheck. But the good thing about it is that if you work on yourself, you will make more than what the regular employee will make eventually. Now, it's going to be a little – go ahead.
And be a hell of a lot happier.
Exactly. Because we've been conditioned to praise money over time. Because most people don't even realize, if you were to ask most people, they wouldn't even realize they are actually bartering their time for money.
Yeah,
they
are.
You're not being told like that. You're actually bartering your time for money. And think about it. The person at 25 doesn't really have a problem with bartering time for money. But when you get 50, 55, now you want the time. You're like, no, I want the time. You be like, no, get about the job. I want time. I want time to spend with my family. I want to spend time to do something on my bucket list. I want time, God dog it.
I agree. And, you know, I went that last, you met me at probably the worst time of my adult life, that last 3 years in Louisiana. And everything in me, I mean, just as sure as the color of my eyes, I could not, I would not go and get a job. And I had sold my business. I was spinning my wheels, didn't know what I was going to do next. Darn near, I was one step from being homeless. But, you know, and my friends and people around me were like, well, just go get a damn job. I'm like, I can't. That felt like prison to me. And I would rather be homeless than be in prison.
Right.
But
Robert Kiyosaki and his wife went through the same thing. They were living out of a car. And then some friends ended up letting them stay in the basement. And fast forward about 6 years, they were back on top.
Yeah. 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 I play that time of my life probably way more over and over in my head than I should. But I look back on it and I think, okay, what was I supposed to get from that? Because there was a lot of suffering in that capsule
of time. Guess what? I'm going to try to help you out.
Okay.
A lady named Lisa Nichols, she said this. You went through that not just for you, but for others. She said, our story doesn't belong to us. We already lived through it. We already lived through it, so it's for the people who come behind us.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes sense because I get a lot of people, and I don't guide people to do what I did. You know, they'll come to me, well, I really want to get out of this job. I want to start my own thing. And I'll tell them, you know, since you've got that stability, do this other on the side, build it up till you feel safe and comfortable enough to move beyond it. But I, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody, well, just quit everything and, you know, go on a whim, because vibrationally, when you're in that place I was in where there's nothing, there's no edge to the pool or whatever, you're out in the middle of the ocean trying to swim, keep your head above water, it's very difficult vibrationally to shift out of that into abundance. You know, you can't, it's an incredible amount of energy and work when you're in the panic zone.
Well, we're back to beliefs again.
Yep.
The only thing that's holding us back is all those beliefs. See, what you are actually doing, at least just from my perspective, is that you were cutting away those beliefs that were holding you there. And a bunch of times, as much as we hate it, we have to leave the city, not just the comfort zone, because people have to leave your comfort zone. No, sometimes you have to leave the city and the state you're in.
And you
and that's
know, what Gary.
People don't want to hear.
No, they don't.
People
and
don't
I
wanna
didn't
want to
hear it.
You have to leave that whole thing behind because it's connected to the person who you used to be.
Uh-huh. You are.
When you jump over to the other, 100%. Just think about it. When you first got to Denver, how many people did you know?
I didn't know anybody.
All right, then.
I didn't know
anybody. Therefore, you had a new identity.
Mm-hmm.
Because wasn't nobody around you to tell you, brother, you know you did. Brother, you know you that.
It's true.
Now I'm living a different Brenda.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not held back with, well,
this is how you've always
am,
been.
So So they're going to tell you, they're going to remind you of something that happened 5 years ago, whereas these new people, it's a fresh slate.
Yeah.
And
you know, it's interesting that as soon as I got here, all of my lifetime friends, close people that had known me at least 10 years, they all fell away.
Mhm. And I mean, that goes back to the story about Ordinary. The same thing with him. He had to leave Familiar. Once he left Familiar, he went through some crazy turns and tangles, but he was headed to a new personality and a new identity to where everything was going to be better.
Yeah. But you know, Gary, the one thing I can say during that turmoil, I had known all along what I was supposed to be doing. I knew that. That's why I had studied it and worked on it and, you know, meeting people, you know, behind the scenes, you know, because nobody was going to willingly admit they were talking to somebody, getting coached, getting guided by somebody that did the things I do, not in Louisiana. But I knew all along this is what you're supposed to be doing. But like you said, the environment wasn't ripe for that.
Run.
Yeah.
Can we put a name on what you just said?
Let's do it.
Let's put a name on what you said. Let's call it a vision. Because, see, that's what people aren't conditioned in school to have a vision.
True.
And that's why people, that's why people are so connected to a job, because a job, it substitutes a vision. You don't
have
a vision to go to a job. You get up, think about it. They tell you when to get up. They tell you when to go to sleep. They tell you when to go to the bathroom. All that, you don't need a vision for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All they need is television. They don't need a vision. They're like, think about it. They get off work. Let's go watch the television.
Yeah, you're right. That's good, Gary.
They,
that's good.
They program for it. And they don't even realize that they've been programmed through belief to seek the job and stay there because this is comfortable. This is the way everybody else is doing it. It's the norm.
Yeah.
Because let's get back to school again. School is based on what? School is based on average. You can have a student who is ready to go to the next level, but the majority of the time, they're going to say, no, slow down, wait till the rest of the class catch up.
Yeah.
Even the grades are based on averages.
Mm-hmm.
So a covert agenda that they have with school is to keep everybody average. Because they feel that the cream will rise to the top and ain't going to be that much cream. Look at a cup of coffee. When you measure the cream versus the coffee, the cream ain't but 10%. And that's the way they got out of schools. Go to an awards program. Look at the kids who go up across the stage and get an award versus the total students watching the kids receiving the awards. 10%, 10 to 15%. That's the way they want it. Because they feel that we don't want but the 15% because that's all the good jobs we're going to fill. We ain't got enough good jobs. But 15%, we can fill 15% easy.
So they pretty much brainwash you into accepting the average because they already know they don't have the positions to fill it.
Exactly. Exactly. And also they're wanting you to conform. I read an article yesterday. It said that most corporations prefer hiring a military person. Why?
Because they
military
conform.
Military is straight conformity. It's straight conformity. In military, you do not question your superior. You can get in trouble for him, really in trouble. Court martial, all that stuff for challenging superior. So they want those because they are in direct conformity. No questions asked. You do exactly what you told, and you stay where you at. You're not gonna try to start your own company. You're not gonna try to be an entrepreneur. You're gonna stay there accepting the same pay over and over and be happy with it.
So they really don't like people like us. And you know what?
No.
I haven't ever in my life tried to get a job in a corporation because again, that feels like prison to me.
Well, the whole thing is the mindset. The mindset, they want to control your pay rate. And they can control your pay rate by having your mindset, I'm just happy to get a job.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
I mean, just happy. Think about it. Robert Kiyosaki said in his hometown, the people look down on him for not having a job, even though he told them that he was a millionaire. Poor Robert, he doesn't have a job.
But
he doesn't have a job, and they down on him.
That's right. That's right. But, you know, Gary, it is all about beliefs. And once you wreck it, you know, when I was studying Seth, He said, you got beliefs all around you. You don't really have to go digging for them. They're obvious, but you're just not trained to see them for what they are.
Oh, we're trained to run on autopilot. See, that's what school does. It gets you running on autopilot to where your whole mindset is toward the curriculum. Everything is study. Work on your weaknesses. What I'm doing working on my weaknesses if the true earning power is in my strength. I mean, think about it. A good example is football or basketball, but I'm going to use football. If my strength is a blocker, I'm not going to get drafted if a team needs a running back. I don't care how much I'm going to work on being a running back as a blocker. Unless I change to being a running back, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
So I need to work on my strengths. And your strengths are your gifts, your talents, and your interests. So when we focus on those three, now we can start coming up with things to where not only we can do, but we can help others do.
Listen to this. You're gonna love this. I've had a couple of clients like this that have come to me. They're flat broke. They're about halfway into their college degree. And all they're trying to do is find out how to get the money to finish their degree. And I tell them, I said, look, you don't have to wait to get that certificate. You know, when I look at, as you move through time, you look back over your life and so many things make sense. And I look back at, you know, the day I got out of high school, it wasn't even a day in between. We're taking you to the college. You're going to enroll in a degree program. After I got out of college, there's been no, other than teaching me how to write and speak fluently, there's been no advantage to that whole experience. And, go ahead.
It's set up academic. People don't realize school is set up for academic. They call it academic. But our lives aren't just academic. I mean, the academic part of a person's life after he leaves college, it drops probably to 30% unless he's a teacher or in the academic world.
Well, I didn't use it. I spent a lot of money doing it, and I know it's probably triple that now. But there was something in me all along that I wasn't, even in my career choices for college, I was still going to be an entrepreneur. I mean, I was looking at being either a psychologist or a doctor, I mean, or a lawyer. I wasn't going to work for someone. I was going to have my own practice. So even there, I wasn't willing to just be doing these activities to find a job. And then once I started just paying attention to what I naturally do, you know, plants are a passion of mine. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to be growing some plants somewhere. And, you know, it got to the point of ridiculousness where I was growing in this little tiny, like, bathroom-sized greenhouse. I was growing enough plants for the whole damn neighborhood. And it was like, okay, at this point, you got to start a business. And, you know, I want to tell you this. I don't know if you've seen anything I've posted on it, but I had this girl. I had this girl come to me, and I could just feel parties, events, planning all over her. And when she came to me, she's talking to me about a job she had. And I said, well, you know what? I don't know about that job, but you need to start a business where you're putting together events for people. Well, a year goes by, 9 months, girl comes back to me, and I'm expecting her to tell me about this gangbuster business. And no, she comes to me and says, well, my mom and I are thinking about starting this sporting clothing company. And I'm like, okay, so we're looking at inventory, we're looking at a location, we're looking at all this expense. Why not the party planet? So it comes down to it, Gary. After I sat here with this girl 2 hours, and she finally tells me, me and my family have been doing parties and putting on events for years for free. We never thought of doing this for money. And you could have knocked me off that chair with a feather. People don't equate money with fun, with enjoying life.
Brenda, we've been taught to devalue our talent. You have to remember, they don't even acknowledge your talent in school. Unless it's academic. That's the only talent allowed.
Or sports.
That's right. But think about it. Even with sports, if you don't make the academics, you can't play.
True.
Remember that now.
Yeah.
You can't play without the academics. You fall beside unless the teachers cheat for you, you can't play. So they still pushing academic. Even though only reason they letting people slide with some of the sports, think about it. Some of the universities, their sporting program is funding half of the college budget.
Yeah.
I mean, you got some universities tearing down the academic buildings to build the sports building.
You know, something else that I've watched, and it gets back to what you were saying about the 20-something-year-olds, oh, they got time to blow. I've seen it time and time again with clients. They will force themselves into that artificial mold of you know, that 9-to-5, I get X number of days off a week, X number of days a year for vacation. They will force themselves into that mold. And I don't know what kind of concoctions they have to do mentally, you know, to conform to that strict structure. But there comes a point, usually about late 30s, early 40s, where it snaps. Can't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they come to me, what do I do now? And you know, astrologically, we've got a point that comes point about 39 and 41, Uranus opposition. And at that time, it's this, it happens that you have your breaking point from all the stuff you forced yourself to do. And that's where people say, oh, they're having a midlife crisis. They're going crazy.
The thing about it is it's kind of like the cold becoming the diamond. You're gonna mm-hmm. become the diamond eventually. It's just like some people just get there quicker because whether it be experience or just waking up and realizing that path, because that's where it was for me. I'm like, okay, I've seen my parents, saw where they ended up from the job 9-to-5, seen where the other people ended up from 9-to-5. Okay, this is a 40-40-40 plan. It ain't no good. It ain't no good. I mean, you're going to be living it, when you look down the road at the 40-40-40 plan, you're barely getting by. And that's not a good plan if you really want to enjoy wealth the way it was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if people just would kind of start looking to try to find who they are, because that'll help them to tap into the resources that they need. But we got to first get back to our beliefs, because our beliefs help us to find out who we are.
Yeah.
So if you can change those beliefs, you automatically kind of get back into the right direction of where you're supposed. It's kind of like, okay, I'm born, I'm 3, 4, and 5. I'm still headed towards success. school is a detour. See, they don't tell us.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't tell us that school is the detour. If you would have went, because think about it. Back before school, you had apprenticeship. I can go and get somebody who's doing what I want to do, and they can train me some of the ins and out of it. And if I want to stay employee, I can stay employee. But I have the option of starting my own and being an entrepreneur. And I think that's a better path than go to school, get good grades, go to school, and then they added this kicker. This is what people don't realize. Within the past 15, 20 years, they added a kicker on there. And I mean, it's kicking butt. Get good grades, go to school, get debt. I mean, a kid graduates with no debt. Within 4 years, he has $30,000 worth of debt with interest accumulating. And sometimes he don't even get the degree. But he still got to pay that student loan.
Oh, now see that. Let me say this. In my work, I'm looking. Okay, so let's say you bring to me this situation that you've had. You just keep seeing it replayed. Different people, different times, different places. So then you got to look at, okay, what is the belief here? What is creating this repeated scenario? And the way you dig these beliefs is you start asking questions and you start, you know, we had a lady call on here a few weeks ago. I don't know if you were on here that day or not, but she called. She kept noticing this same pattern in her work environment. And I said, okay, well, you know, obviously I couldn't work with her on the radio, but I gave her some clues. But you start, I've had this going on in my life, most of my life, and I struggled with it. And once I learned the tools on how to break down, it was crystal clear. And it often, the belief you think it is not the core. Mm-hmm. It's not the root. You got to keep pulling back them layers to find it. You find it, there it is.
Right. A guy who works with Lisa Nichols, he showed me something that was unique. He said most kids who graduate from high school, you ask them why they want to go to college, and they'll tell you one thing, but he ended up asking them three or four questions before he got to the real reason why they wanted to do. And he said, well, guess what, if I told you that you don't necessarily need a degree to do this? And they jaw drop.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's another
what we
big
start showing these kids, that you don't necessarily have to have a degree to accomplish what you want to accomplish.
That's
if you start
right.
asking the questions. So I agree with you about asking questions for sure.
Well, and I just want to make this clear, listeners. This situation I had, all the clues were right there in my face, but I didn't connect the dots. And finally, one night I got up and I sat down and I started journaling. And a lot of times in my healing work I do, I have to get to the belief with someone. I have to, because it's just like going to the doctor. You go to the doctor and get part of your colon cut out and you hadn't fixed the belief, guess what? 6 months from now, they're going to be telling you, we got to cut this off too. So I sat there and I had to, you know, and often you can't do this kind of work on yourself. You got to have an objective listener and perspective to be able, but, you know, as much work as I've done on myself and others, I finally pulled it out and I put it together. And a lot of times when you're pulling up these beliefs, they're not friendly. They're not things you would want to admit about yourself. Take, for instance, women putting on weight. I've got weight on me right now. And when the weight thing make you feel more safe, more protected, It can help you shun sexual advances that you don't want. But if you're just sitting there looking at Nutrisystem, I'm going to go do this and I'm going to lose this weight. Guess what? You might lose it, but you're going to put it right back on until you get rid of those okay. beliefs.
Exactly. A lady named Bobby Summer, she summed it up like this. Said, whatever you believe, you will believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, we do. I mean, you start believing it, and next thing you know, it shows up.
Uh-huh. And that, you know, you can put it in Florence Scovel Shin terms or who was the guy we used to, Napoleon Hill. But
uh-huh.
you look at it quantum physics-wise, all you're doing, your beliefs are arranging molecular structures to manifest. That's what you're
right.
doing. And the crazy thing about it, and I hear this, these people, they're looking for love. They keep attracting deadbeats. And I know, I don't even have to go into their life. I know the right guy has probably come around many times, but their beliefs don't see him because their beliefs, I had a woman once tell me, this is all I've ever expected a man to treat me like. I watched mm-hmm. it with my uncles, I watched it with my father, so this is how I expect men to act. And I'm like, well, as long as you keep expecting this men to act this way, you're going to keep getting men that act this way.
Exactly. Well, it's kind of like some of them want a little of both.
A little good and a little bad, huh?
Yeah. And the thing about it is that they don't realize they get more of what they thought they were going to get with the bait.
Yeah. Well, you're a man, so I'm sure you've and you're a Pisces man at that, so I know you've had a lot of women coming, talking to you about their love lives and pouring all that. I know you've heard it, and you probably shake your head just like I do.
Well, a bunch of them, similar to you, they end up leaving from me because of the simple fact that I'm like, no, it starts with you. So I'm like, when you start fixing you, then you fix some of the other stuff. And that's some things that people don't want to hear neither.
No. They want to make the other person do whatever's necessary. And, you know, he's got to do this, she's got to do that. And I'm like, no, you change your beliefs, which changes your frequency, your vibrational attraction point. This mix can't happen anymore. It can't. Goes against laws of the universe. When you shift you, it automatically shifts people in your life. I did some healing work on this guy, I don't know, it was over a month ago, and he was in a marriage. He's been in a marriage for 20-something years. And I listened to a little of that, and it was just drama central. And I knew when we did our work together, it was automatically gonna shift this marriage for the better or for the worse, because the other partner has to realize, oh wow, my mate has shifted. They're not playing the same games we used to play. What do I do now? And sure enough, it wasn't 48 hours later, things started shifting in his marriage, and he hasn't left. He has just moved into a better place. But she's mm-hmm. not willing to change her beliefs. She don't want no part of me. She don't want to do any kind of work. So mm-hmm. now you've got this mismatch of vibrations that can't mm-hmm. be around each other. You know, so he's told me, he said, I'm not going back. I'm staying right here. If she wants to meet me where I'm at, she can meet me. But I'm not going back to that. He said, I know what it feels like to be happy now. I'm not going back to that. So, and this is what happened, you know. Oh, I see we've got a question, Gare. Let's see what we got here. Okay. Hang on just a second.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller. Did you have a question?
Yeah, hi. I just called in. Is there a topic?
We're talking about beliefs and how they create our reality.
Beliefs and how they create our reality. Okay, so I got to keep it on that type of a thing, huh? Okay.
I want to hear what you were calling about. It might be more interesting than what we're talking about.
Well, okay. Let me come up
we
with something real quick.
We may be able to weave it in.
All right, well, I think that sometimes the way that I speak with conviction, I think that sometimes people are very intimidated by it, even though I speak from my heart and the truth.
Yeah.
And they can't handle the truth. And I think that karmically it has gotten me into trouble. And I think because of that, I don't really trust a lot of people because they just can't handle the truth. And then they go away, and I've been loyal, and then they have this whole situation turning it all around and making me look like the bad guy when all I've been is honest, truly honest.
Would
you know,
say that you play the role of messenger?
It's maybe a possibility. You know, it that very well could be. Very well could be. Subconsciously, it very well could be. Esoterically, it very well could be. But it's gotten me into, it's gotten me hurt. It's gotten me really hurt, I could tell you that much. It's really hurt my soul. It's really hurt my spirit. It's really hurt me.
When I'll let Gary chime in here in a sec. When I first started using my psychic gifts, okay, it didn't start with me using tools or anything like that. I'd be talking to somebody, and all of a sudden I'd get impressions or hits or insights.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
Back then, I didn't know what it was. I didn't know it was psychic. I'd just start talking. And
mm-hmm.
it would freak the people out because it was like,
mm-hmm.
oh, my God, how does she know that? And I didn't even know that I knew, you know? And
mm-hmm.
so then I started noticing, okay, when you get these impressions, this is psychic stuff. And I got to where I kind of quit saying exactly. Unless they ask. Now, if they ask, buddy, they came to know. Don't ask Brenda if you don't want to know the truth. Just don't ask her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I quit telling it. But then as I moved into my life's work, and this is something I really want to underline with you. I don't know what, you know, I don't know any more than what you've offered in the last minute. But oftentimes, I've seen it over and over and over. When you have a soul purpose, and it sounds like you're a messenger like me, if you're not in a work environment, in a situation where you are called on to be that guide, to be that messenger, you play that role out in your personal relationships, and your personal relationships become your clients, in essence. And it can be damaging because that's not where your gifts are most needed. So you may want to look at that. Gary, what you want to offer to it?
Just ask yourself questions and dissect it to see what beliefs, not only with you, but maybe about the people around you that may cause them to not accept the message. Because beliefs are playing a role somewhere in there, so it still came into play with what we were talking about.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Yeah.
Anytime you meet a circumstance that keeps repeating in your life, there you as the originator of your reality, there's belief systems going on in you, and perhaps one of your beliefs may be, you know, you've already said one of your beliefs, people don't want to hear the truth. That's a belief. But if you're around the right environment, the people do want to hear the truth, but they have to ask for it.
Well, I'm highly intuitive. I spend a lot of my time with animals. I'm highly I prefer to spend time with animals because a lot of people, there's just too much, you know, mess. And
yeah.
You like-minded people that I do spend time with or communicate with, it's so lovely and pleasurable. But
yep.
Like I'm saying, the people that I have known for 35 and 45
uh-huh.
years that have gotten themselves into some messy junk have tried to flip the switch on me, and it's all about their mess. So they're
mm-hmm.
manifesting their junk into my life, and it's like, take your angry stuff and turn it back into you, because I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. Don't make me the patsy for everything that you've created.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm a Sagittarian. I'm a straight shooter.
I knew
it. Honest. I am honest. Okay? And you can't handle my truth, and you've created your own problem, so don't make it mine. You've made me a part of your life for all of these years, and now you want to turn it at me like I was the bearer of your demise, of your circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't me. You know, so I'm just trying to, I'm having a real problem with that. It's been a year since I've learned to break away from that. But these people are so angry, or this person's so angry. And I'm just kind of like, whatever, you know, but it still
yeah.
hurts the soul to know that
mm-hmm.
this person could be so angry. And it's like, really, what did I do that makes you so angry? But
no.
I think it's their own projection, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But I just wanted to know what's up with my future, really. That's what I was calling about.
Well, you might have to call Mystical Empress for that. That's a reading. But,
oh,
no, but you know what? You think you wanted to know about your future, but I think you really did need to engage in this conversation. Hopefully we're going to be able to give you some, you know, perspective on that. But let me say to you, people will try to get you to carry their issues and their emotions, and a lot of people will willingly pick up that baggage for them, and as long as you say, you know what, your rage began way before you knew me, it might have even happened in another lifetime, it has nothing to do with me,
mm-hmm.
but you gave your own answer. You said that the people of like mind, it's a wonderful exchange. So basically what you're telling us is you're not a vibrational match to
no.
these people that don't honor what you have to offer the exchange. So that's going to be your
not
choice. Do you want to continue or do you want to move on?
Oh, no, it's done. It's done. I can't. It's done. I can't move with that. I don't even know who these people are anymore, this person.
There you go.
It's like there's a demon living inside this person, and there's just...
There might be.
No, it's done. It's got evil.
Okay.
It got real evil, and I can't even think about it because it just physically and emotionally upsets me, so I can't even think about that person. That's how bad it is.
And I will tell you this, as an intuitive myself, you have a lot of energy still tied into that person, whether you ever see them again. If I were you, I would get a clearing done. I'd recollect anytime we have a relationship with someone, we leave bits and pieces of ourselves with them as they do us. It's called soul fragment loss. You need to get
mm-hmm.
a clearing, and you need to get your soul fragments retrieved because they're
still...
Is that still,
like a cord cutting?
It goes a little bit deeper than that. And you can't... A lot of times we just think of this reality. It can go from past lives, future lives. There's all different directions it can be stemming from. But you're going to definitely need to call your energy back in, because your energy is still very much bound up with people.
I mean, I've known her for 35 years. She was like a sister to me. I mean, she'd moved to Florida, and, I mean, put it this way, she would buy something, I'd buy something the same week. So the same thing. We were so on the same, even though she wasn't as intuitive as I was, we shared a lot of the same thought processes. She didn't believe in a higher power as I did. That's where we differed. We did disagree on a lot of things, but yet I believe we shared other lifetimes together because our souls somehow did enjoy each other. Doesn't mean we had to agree on everything. But can you tell me how I do that? Because I have no idea how to do that or where to get it done.
I'm going to tell you, go on my website, mysticalempress.com/shaman.html, or just go to mysticalempress.com. Look under the shaman tab because I do those clearings. But, yeah, you're
you know what? I spoke to you like last week.
Okay,
and
great.
I wrote to you. Oh, and
okay.
I thought you were amazing.
Okay. Yeah,
but
I thought I recognized your voice, but you didn't let on, so I wasn't going to ask if it was you. Yeah, go to the website and look under Shaman and read that whole page because you'll understand a lot of what's going on with you and this person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, and you can, if I call on you, you can help me with this?
Yes, I may. I will do it.
Yeah,
I
need this done. Now, this will make this person go away. Like,
it breaks the energetic ties, but I'm going to tell you what. And I had a woman call me a few months ago, and she'd been through all kinds of trauma with this person. And we broke it. But I told her, I said, you can't get up from here and go back to talking about this person and thinking about this person and replaying that because that reestablishes the energy
mm-hmm.
connection. But
mm-hmm.
even if you did that, you have this clearing done, it's going to break through the bulk of that. It's going to break through it. And then if you reestablish ties, they're not going to be as binding as what you're in right now. Because what you're in right now spans not only the 35 years you've known her here, but other time.
Yeah, you know, it's hard because we share a lot of friends and family members. And it's going to, we'll have a talk. We'll have to have
okay.
a talk.
Well, you just give me a call, okay?
I sure will. I adored you. Yeah, I think we spoke last week, and it was just like serendipitous why I called.
It
and
was
I
serendipitous
think that you were alone.
Today.
It always is.
You called. I don't know what you're talking about, but I need to talk. And you plugged right into what we were talking about beautifully, Miss Sagittarius.
I love you so much, darling.
I love you, too, and I thank you for calling in. Please, keep calling in. We enjoy hearing yourself.
You can mute me, but you can't. I want to hear the rest of the show.
Okay. Well, please stay
thank
right
you.
There. Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. But did you see that, Gary, how those beliefs, they're there?
Mm-hmm. They're there all the time. I mean, and that's what's so wild about it is we've been programmed to run on autopilot till we never, ever question them.
Mm-hmm.
Never question them. They are the main cause of what's going wrong.
Yeah. And you know how you were, I don't know if she heard the first part of the show where you were saying, you were talking about, like me moving out of my environment
right.
into a new place, not knowing anybody. And it is tricky when it's people in your life that have been there your entire life. It is tricky shifting out of those dynamics because when we have relationships with people, we have unspoken rules and guidelines.
Right. Exactly.
And man, that's hard when you're trying to grow and change and the other person's not, just like that husband and wife I was talking about. It's very hard to continue that relationship. Now, if both people are willing to do their part, then that's great. But oftentimes, one part of the equation's not willing to shift their beliefs and move forward.
Exactly. And it's tough, but we have to realize that some people are only with us for a season, and I ain't talking about they have to die.
That's right.
They still
You're
be
right.
alive, and we still alive, but they go their way, and we go out.
That's true. And, you know, people, there are, I'm that person. I don't hang on to relationships. Actually, I really like relationships that I can dart in and dart out. When they're, you know, aside from my spouse, but with interactions, with acquaintances, with friends, I'm growing and changing so much that I just prefer to fly light, you know? And I hear from people, go ahead.
That's one of the side effects of school. It gets us to stay small. We grow to, we're in a condition that we, I mean, you can ask at least 50% out of 10 people, for every 10 people is at least 5 who are going to believe that your learning stops at a certain point. Learning continues forever. That's a lifelong thing.
It should
because
be.
Because like you said, we're growing. We have to continue growing. If we stop learning, we stop growing.
And then you die.
Exactly.
You know, how many people do you know that stop learning? Like literally stop learning. I was dealing with a woman this week trying to pass money between us. And, you know, this was not an elderly woman. I don't know how old she is, probably in her 40s, maybe 50s. She didn't know anything about the internet. And I'm like, okay, you know, how does this person function? But so many people will level off and they'll say, well, I'm not learning that. I don't want to learn any of that.
Guess what, though? You can trace it to belief, and you can trace
mm-hmm.
it to school.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it goes back to that when I ask people about reading. A bunch of people tell me, I don't read. I hate reading. And I go and find them in a reading section. They don't call it reading because it's a somewhat of like a comic book or something like that there. But it's still reading. It got pictures and words.
Mm-hmm.
Reading is pictures and words. So
mm-hmm.
You just told me you hated reading. They hated reading in school.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they done put the two together, and now they're going around telling people they hating reading. But I was glad that I followed them, and I saw that they don't hate reading. They just got that thing connected in their head from school. Because, I mean, not only did they read the book, they sat down and read the book.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. You and I both, I was thinking about that before we came on today. You and I both are voracious readers. We devour books. And as far as I'm concerned, when you're trying to educate your child, I believe the most important thing you can do from when they're able to read words, teach them the love of reading. Because
Amen.
If a child enjoys reading, they're going to be inspired to continue to learn.
Well, we go back to that educo word. People don't even realize it is that when you're reading, you're tapping into what's inside of you. Think about it. You pick up a book and you start to read it. Nothing inside of you connects with it. You put it down. But
mm-hmm.
once you pick up a book that connects with something that's inside of you, you read the whole book.
Yeah.
It's because of what's inside of you. It's not what's on the pages of the book. It's what's inside of you. And we have never been told that, okay, when you read a book and it resonates inside with something inside of you, it messes with you. stuff inside your mind starts firing to where now I got an interest in it and I want to know more.
Look,
versus
when I was
you're gonna make me study something that I hate.
Exactly. When I was a kid, like one of the funniest stories they told me was when I first started trying to learn how to read, I would sit on the couch and I would get mad because I couldn't read the TV guide. I'd sit and try to read the TV guide and then I'd throw it across the room when I couldn't figure it out. But from the earliest memories I have, I was always reading books. I was going to the library every summer, checking out all these books. And it opened so many worlds to me. And even, you know, Matt, my husband, last night, I was reading another book. I got a stack of 6 books on my desk that I'm working my way through right now. And he said, "You're reading another book?" And I said, "Yeah, I got some learning to do." But the thing is, when people don't understand this, it's that old saying, the more you use it, you know, if you don't use it, you lose it. When you are reading, you're developing, you're creating more neural nets in your mind.
Exactly.
You're growing your brain. So these people, there's no reason you should have to deteriorate as you age. Your mind should not have to deteriorate. But how many people do you know?
We've been conditioned to believe it that way. I mean,
exactly.
That goes back with what we were talking about, the eyes.
Go,
people,
yes,
automatically,
please.
People automatically go run out and get a prescription at a certain age because they done told you, oh, at this age you got to go get glasses. I'm like, not necessarily so. Because, I mean, I'm looking at kids at 6 and 7 being prescribed glasses. I'm like, this ain't right. I'm like, I read a book just last week. It said that you're supposed to have at least 3 hours of natural light. And so a bunch of those kids aren't getting 3 hours of natural
light.
That's
right.
I mean,
that's
natural
right.
light, not artificial light in a room and all that there. No, natural light outside, outdoors. And think about it. They have conditioned us to not really be outside on the norm. I mean,
I know.
When I read that, I started thinking about people who have outside jobs and how I don't see that many of them wearing glasses.
That's true. I hadn't thought about that either. But look, you know, I started noticing when I was in people's homes with their pets, I started noticing, especially dark homes, the animals will gravitate to the window, to the sunbeam, and they will make sure every day they lie in that space for X amount of hours even. I watch that, cats and dogs both, and I'm sure birds and the rest of them. But you're right. When you're enclosed, you're not in that natural light. And they've demonized the sunlight. Come on, Gary.
I'm telling you. So it's just wild to me how we don't look at all the things that have been done to mess with us, to distort our natural functions. Because, I'm sorry, before school, a person could naturally gravitate to something, to a career or a job that fitted them, not just to make money to pay a bill, but actually fitted them to where they wanted to find a way to get better and do it a better way. It was a joy to go and do that job. It wasn't I got to call in sick, man. I can't go there today. And they got us to adjust to it, man. I'm like, this is ridiculous. All these adjust, and they started at the child level.
Yeah.
So that's why That's why school is so important in their agenda, because they shape that mentality at that early age to when you get 18 and 19, you follow the status quo. Follow the status quo. They already know at least 6 or 7 of them going to follow the status quo. You probably have 2 or 3 entrepreneurs, but the majority are like, okay, we still got our quota for going this way. Because think about it. They already know half. You could take a class that's going to enter college, well, just enter college. At least half of that class is not going to graduate. They already know it. They are not going to graduate. I mean, let's put it at 100 because you can gauge it easily. That means at least 50 students enrolled in college are not going to graduate. That's the minimum. That's not the max. That's the minimum.
Yeah, we're down a little bit less than 4 minutes, kind of winding down the show. What would you, Gary, say to people wanting to understand their habitual beliefs, the things they take for granted that they keep thinking that's keeping them locked into patterns?
I am so grateful for the internet. The internet has at least 10, maybe even 20 different websites that they can go to dissect their beliefs and ask questions about their beliefs. So go to the internet and just key in limiting beliefs, because that's most of them going to be called limiting beliefs. Because your beliefs limit you from what you could have, what you can be, actually be, who you can become. So go to those websites and start, because they have exercises that you can do to help identify some of them. Because we haven't been taught to identify them. I mean, some of them sticking right out. Somebody else can see them, but we can't.
That's true.
So that's what I would advise people to do, because that's what I'm doing myself, because I have limiting beliefs. I mean, the main reason we aren't as successful as we could be are traced back to our limiting beliefs. I mean, it could even be something as crazy as money is evil.
Oh, yeah, something I get a lot of people with that belief.
Something as crazy as that. Money is evil. So now when you make money, you're going to automatically overspend. You don't just spend all that you make. You overspend. It's like you make 100, you spend 200. You automatically going to be in debt.
Exactly. So in light of, you can do the research yourself. If you find yourself stuck, you can call somebody like me to work with. But it is necessary to figure out what those beliefs are, especially when you realize that you have patterns that keep coming up, just like our caller. You know, when you keep seeing something happen over and over and over, you can't blame it on the outside world. You got to look at yourself and say, okay, what do I need to fix here? What do I need to tweak? All right, let me say, to contact Gary. Gary has his own Facebook page, Gary O. Blanson. He also does a weekly blog, the Monroe Media Manifesto.blogspot.com. You can reach me, mysticalempress.com. You can call 720-965-0062. I'd be happy to work with you and get to the bottom of your beliefs. And Gary, I want to thank you so much for joining us again. We always have a nice chat between us. We bounce each other's ideas back and forth. We've always been that way since we met. I very much appreciate you coming on. And I want to send you guys into your week with many mystical blessings, and pay attention to what you're thinking about all day. Things that just randomly come up, they're the clue to these beliefs that we've been talking about. Blessings, and expect a miracle. Bye-bye.